Good evening. Glad that we could be back together on this Sunday evening. And I did not have a nap, so it's possibly going to be a short sermon. However, those that did get a nap, I'm jealous. Green with envy. However, tonight what we're going to be talking about, as I mentioned, is a royal wedding. And as you could possibly imagine, how much have we heard about the royal wedding of William and Kate, right? It seems like that has just been everything on the news other than bin Laden. I mean, I think that's really the top two things, isn't it? And what's happening with Lindsay Lohan or something probably as well. But we know that April 29th, that this was going to occur and did occur. And I remember being at work and news stations were breaking in, and that was just, that's huge news. And of course, I told Kenzie when I got home, she was recording stuff. Of course, I guess men just don't get that excited about weddings, do we? Some of the men don't have to shake their head so they don't get in trouble. But I don't know what the deal is. But every station you turn on, that's what they're talking about. And it was the royal wedding. You know, people, and even this is part of the website here that's taken off the website, you know, has directions. You coming to London? You know, they're going to get you there. They're going to get you all these things taken care of, from the service to the procession and all that. When Kate walked down the aisle, if y'all didn't know this, she became the oldest royal bride to get married. That's interesting facts, isn't it? Well, not only that, but did you know that we were honored to actually be on the guest list this year? We were not able to make it, but we did get one. And y'all know that's crazy. Photoshopping these days is awesome. Amazing what I can do with it. But that is a royal invitation. You know, and people who got those, you know, they're thinking, man, that is an awesome honor to be able to go to a royal wedding. You know, and I know Kenzie, when she filled out all those wedding invitations and all that, and for all those young ladies who did recently when we all got married the same year, that was very, very difficult. A lot of time put into that. And of course, they had people to do it for them. And we realized that in our life that we have to do it ourselves, is to package them and everything. And people get it and they're thinking, oh, look who's getting married. You know, and they make all these plans that we want to be able to attend. Could you imagine getting one of these invitations? First thing it is, what do I wear, right? That's the ladies. But, however, we understand that. A total of 1,900 guests were invited to the wedding of Prince William and Catherine, including 50 members of the royal family and a further 40 guests from foreign royal families. Just think of that's an amazing scene to begin with. And if, like I said, if you watched it on TV, just bits and pieces of it, there was just thousands upon thousands of people that were gathered there. And I don't know how you feed that many people. But, and you remember the cart that they took off in, the 1902 Statelandau, which carried Prince William and his new bride, Kate, from Westminster Abbey to Buckingham Palace, was specifically built for King Edward VII in 1902. That's pretty special, isn't it, we'd say. It is normally used open and drawn by 6 horses. We'd say, man, there's a lot of things going on with that wedding. And I bet y'all didn't know this either. But you know that Papa John's actually made a pizza that has their faces? Think about all of the things. It's amazing how much went into this and what people were, the news, everything. It's just crazy. They truly believe in better. And the cost was estimated, they haven't really nailed down anything, and I don't know if y'all might have found it, but between $34 to $70 million. That's a lot of money, we would say. Well, we could spend all the time, as does the news recently, about this wedding and all of that. But I want to talk about a different wedding. one that you will not hear the media talk about as much as it did William and Kate. You won't hear. And that's King Jesus and his bride. You won't hear about it. And I will submit that by the time we're through with this lesson, that this is not just another royal wedding that has taken place. This is the royal wedding that will ever take place. How much weight do we put upon it? We're going to think about that as we go to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. There's a few verses that we want to read together. Matthew 22. It's amazing that here's the parable of the marriage feast. We all remember this. And it begins that Jesus answered, and he spoke to them again by parables, taking things that they would understand, you know, in that physical sense. Things he could relate to. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light in verse 5 of it, and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him in verse 12, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called. But, what's he say? Few are chosen. We think about this wedding feast that's taking place, and we take our minds back to the times of the Jews. And the Jewish weddings, as you would find in biblical times, involved a number of steps. And we walk through those steps. Just once again, the couple made that marriage contract, which was the basis of marriage, was the first thing, obviously. And about a year later, the groom went to the bride's house where the bride was presented to him. And as we remember that in chapter 25, we'll even talk about later on, followed by a nighttime wedding procession to the groom's home, where a festive procession would take place, and a festive wedding banquet was held. And the banquet could last up to a week. A week. Let me just stop and let me be thankful that ours didn't last a week. But anyways, we'll move on. Depending upon the resources that the grooms had and the groom's family, a feast, especially a wedding feast, is often used that we find in Scripture that our minds are going to right now to portray God's kingdom on earth. Several places, such as Luke 14, and Matthew, as we mentioned there, 25 and verses 1 through 13. John chapter 2. These are some places that you find that. In this parable, the king, obviously, is God the Father, as we find, and the Son being Christ. He goes on to say in verse 3 that two invitations were sent out, weren't they? Two. The first was sent long before the celebration so that people would have plenty of time to prepare. themselves for the banquet that would take place. And those who were invited had received this original announcement. Now, a second one, invitation was sent to them to announce the banquet was ready and they should come when? Right away. It's time. Now, if you notice verse 4 of Revelation chapter 22, the plea of this verse undoubtedly portrays the ministry of John himself. John the Baptist in chapter 3, and the disciples in chapter 10. When it was a very portrait of urgency, was it not? You know, that's really kind of, again, he sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. And all these things are prepared. Come to the wedding. You know, John the Baptist, what was he doing? He was preparing the way for who? Who was he preparing the way for? Jesus, wasn't he? He was called the forerunner of Christ, wasn't he? In the days of Malachi. That here was coming someone who was going to have the true royal wedding. And not just of a century, but of a lifetime. It's one that you and I, as John would even explain to Nicodemus, you don't want to miss. And he explained that it's not the physical things that we get so caught up with, but he's talking about a spiritual birth, a spiritual preparation. And here it is in verse 5, that they made light of it. And how many in those times were making light of the fact of what Jesus was talking about? Because they did not care what about it. I would love to know the number of people that tuned in to the wedding, the royal wedding of Prince William and Catherine. I'm not saying there's anything wrong watching it. But how many, if it was being talked about the royal wedding of Christ and His bride versus that of William and Kate, who do you think would have won that one? Our minds would already say, it's going to be over there on the other side of the globe. It's not going to be on what we're talking about tonight. They were so preoccupied in verse 5 of chapter 22 with the here and now that they had no concern for God's kingdom. That goes back to that mentality of out of sight, out of what? Mind mentality. And verse 6, do you see the indifferent response that's given from verse 5 to verse 6? Describes Israel really at the time of Jesus' earthly ministry, right? The actions in this verse may be attributed to the religious authorities. I mean, you think back to the leaders, how they approved of John the Immerser's death, didn't they, in chapter 21 and verse 25? Did they instigate Jesus' crucifixion? Well, yeah, because you find that in chapter 26 and verses 3 through 5, don't you? And they initiated the persecution of the early church in Acts chapter 4. Yeah, that's what you find. Notice verse 7, but when the king heard about it, he was furious and set his armies, destroyed those murders, and burned up their city. What is supposed to be a celebration turned into a horrific scene, didn't it? Both bad and good that's mentioned in verse 10, where he says, go into the highways and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. That could refer to Jews and Gentiles, we might say, right? Both groups include some who are morally evil and others who are morally good. You know, we can take it that way. But whatever their conditions, people need to respond to that gospel call. But recognize that this group responded to the invitation. They responded. They did something about it. While those who had received special invitations, like Kenzie and I did for the royal wedding over there, you know, think what they were doing. They spurned the king's bidding. Did they not? That's what they did. And what about this fella in verse 11? What do you think about this one who did not have on a wedding garment? Like the others, this visitor had been invited to the wedding, but he failed to do what? Prepare himself for it. In Revelation, the garment of fine linen worn by the bride of the Lamb is said to be the righteous deeds of the saints. We're about to see that in Revelation 19, and we're about to get there. But the man had ignored a basic obligation that was placed upon him when he accepted the king's gracious invitation to the feast. He was supposed to wear clean clothes, wasn't he? He came to a wedding unprepared. Soiled clothing would have been something that's insulting. And in this parable we find a garment may refer to the righteousness of Christ graciously provided for us through His death. So we'd say that's a refusal of Christ's sacrifice even. I think we understand, don't we? How many people you think showed up wearing rags over there at William and Kate's? We'd say, not us. We go to a wedding that we say is small. It's going to be a small wedding. That one was not a small wedding. A small wedding. Say, just have family and a few friends, right? How many of us, well, it's just going to be a few family and friends. We're going to go in some clothes that Brother Alvis wears to work from time to time. We'd say, no way. We'd be sitting there trying to figure out, oh, what tie am I going to wear? Oh, the ladies, what kind of dress am I going to wear? And all of that. When it comes down to the church, what do we think about it? How prepared am I when it says that He gave His only begotten Son? Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For my Father's house are many mansions. If not so, and I've told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Heaven is a prepared place for what? A prepared people. That's who it's for. And how many times have we seen invitation after invitation throughout the Bible? Behold, I stand at the door and do what? Knock. How many see that? Come, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's invitation after invitation throughout the Bible where He invites us to become someone prepared for that place that He has for us, that He wants us to have. Boy, there's some words there, a vivid picture in verse 13, isn't it? Of this man's inability to participate in Christ's kingdom, isn't it? In verse 13, bind him hand and foot. Someone claiming to belong at the wedding while refusing to wear the correct garments was similar to the Israelites who claimed to be God's people while refusing to obey Him. How many claim to be Christians today yet not doing what God tells them to do? Jesus calls those hypocrites, doesn't He? This man was an imposter, and he was discovered. Many are called, but few are chosen. It says in verse 14, the word called in this instance refers to being what? That's that word again. Invited. Not to the call of man. All Israel had been invited, but only a few would accept and follow Christ according to His will. Think about that. Going through those verses, what do you think about the royal wedding of a lifetime? Have I prepared myself for this royal wedding? Revelation 19, we want to look at verses 1 through 9 now. Revelation 19, verses 1 through 9. And we want to notice there just a few things, and we're going to close the lesson up. After these things, in verse 1 through 9, after these things I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, because He has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. He has avenged on her the blood of His servants shed by her. Again they said, Alleluia, her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you His servants and those who fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. Wow. I think that we'd say that that's powerful in itself. When we see the words blessed, happy, that's presented there. Alleluia is said several times throughout there, where God is praised because of His faithfulness, because of His love, because of His just judgment even, and it will continue eternally. Notice what he says, the marriage supper in verse 9. The key to being able to participate in something of great grandeur and of that nature in the wedding banquet is faithfulness to God. That's the bottom line. That's it. Because that's exactly what we saw in Matthew chapter 22 for one who was prepared for it. Think about that. I'm not to be a spectator. I'm supposed to be a participator in this. Think about it as you notice those verses again. There is a wedding to take place. That's what the Scriptures is presenting. Invitations have been extended, as we mentioned as well from the Scriptures. Provisions have been made for the guest. And I want to tell you something. That cost of 34 to 70 million. I'm still waiting for the actual total to come out. My Google search only gave me that. So, do you know what the royal wedding cost? I'm talking about the royal wedding. It didn't cost cash, did it? It didn't cost money of any sort. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have what? Everlasting life. John 3:16. We know that verse. He gave His only begotten Son. That is the biggest cost ever. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. John 15, verses 13 and 14. That's what we're talking about. Provisions have been made for the guest. We're told to accept the gracious offer. It's not just, preacher, I've heard the word, I believed it with my heart. Jesus Christ, Son of God, I've confessed Him. I've repented. I've been baptized. I've arisen. But we got to think about that walk in newness of life. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship where? We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son does what? Cleanses us from all unrighteousness. There's that garment that we're talking about. Without spot, without blemish. We're about to see another verse like that. 1 John 1 and verse 7 says that, doesn't it? If we walk in the light as He is in the light. We're talking about continuing steadfastly. On a daily basis. There's many that make excuses that we find in Matthew chapter 25. Remember that of the 10 virgins? Remember those that were prepared and those that weren't prepared? Remember that? There's so many things that we could relate to this from the Scriptures, right? Physically, we understand that we want to be there where? On time. We want to be prepared. We want to get a good seat. Spiritually, do we want a good seat? Do we want to be there? Do we want our name in the book? The book. Not just, you've came to the royal wedding. You typed in the website and we're going to put you on that one of the books, the guest list. We're talking about the book that makes the biggest difference in the world. Not just the history books of the United States or the world or whatever. One that we don't want to miss out on. We don't want to reject this invite ever. Some come but not dressed for the event. We have to ask ourselves all the time, are we prepared for this event? Are we ready for it? Many are called but only few are selected. Am I one of those few that's working out my salvation with fear and trembling, as Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 in verse 12. Destruction for the rebellious. We see that in Matthew chapter 22. We don't want to be that. We don't want to be standing there when our heart's not in it. But what a glorious day for the faithful who gets to attend the royal wedding. Take that in from those verses. Notice, if you will, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25 through 29. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. Husband, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Now take that in. And Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Where's that? Acts 2 and verse what? 47. Am I constantly working as a member of the Lord's church? Am I steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord? Because He gave Himself for that church. And you know what? He's going to present that. He's going to present it to Himself, a glorious church. Will I be part of that? Not just by word of mouth, but by deeds that I have done in this body. That I'm identified as a Christian. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all where? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do all in the name of the Lord. By His authority. He's the Savior of the body. Is that our affections? Is that where our mind is? Is that where our conversation and citizenship is at right now? Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable, the perfect will of God. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Am I that individual that's doing just that? And that's really the lesson. It's a very simple one to take for us. The invitation cards are not going to come into the mail. It's not. I really don't see a pizza being made of the sort. This is the best invitation anyone could ever have. I know it's kind of put to the side from time to time. We might be thinking back to an invitation we received one time from somebody that we were just so thrilled. Oh, look who's getting married. And you smile real big. And you're just thrilled. This one should be renewed every day. We should be smiling every day, because this is the biggest invitation anyone will ever have in this life. And I'm going to tell you, that cart, that 1902 Stateland doll, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. But you want to know something? That one holds no weight whatsoever to God calling us home. When He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, the joys of thy Lord." That's an amazing statement. Will we be with King Jesus in His bride? Will we accept the invitation right now? If we need this song of encouragement in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected?